Hello and welcome to the Q&A, questions and answers all about the lecture, the first lecture that we've had. So the first lecture is all about space, ether, basically a general overview of the entire chart. Okay, so I have some of your questions here. Maybe one or two people might join live. We'll see how we go. What I wanted to start off with was a quick recap of looking at what it is that space and the chart calculation, the chart presentation is all about, and being able to look at it from the perspective of each of your charts rather than a generated, you can see the screen there. So rather than just looking at it like this, which is an equal layout, perfect colors divided perfectly into the 12 spaces, it's great to be able to have a general understanding of that, but what we're going to do today is apply that to each of your charts, all right? So, let's see. So I'll leave that so that if people enter, they can, and I'll keep chatting. Okay, so if we look again at, this is the layout so that you can just have it. It's almost like when you're doing a spider graph, if you study that way visually, it's nice to have things just a little bit more clean and to understand there are the 12 houses. If I was to show you a chart that was, let's take for example this one. Okay, if I was to show you a chart and it's the line is slightly off center. Oh, this house seems smaller than the other. You would kind of say, oh, is there a significance then based on size or based on the degree? So it was really done like that so that the visuals are laid out so that you understand the 12 houses, okay? So if we break it back as a recap over the 12 houses, okay, we've got the wording here. Those of you with a strong or heavy presence in your first house, I am, awareness of self, presentation, your personality, it's all about the outward version of all that you are. Into the second house, you've got your what you have, your personal resources, the skill set, your values, financial and materialistic things that you have as well. The third house is then very much to do with your level of connection, your level of perception and insight. So we're really connecting there, connecting the dots with your early development and particularly on a mental perspective level. Mental activities, early learning, how you connect and relate to your siblings, your neighbors, your very immediate form of communication. Into the fourth house, then we've got how you care, how you nurture, what it is that you tend to at home, where it is that you come from. So ancestors, the legacy that you're going to pass on to others, not just where you come from, but what it is you also are passing on. So when you are in a parent mode or elder mode, this is a house that you really tend to because it is a legacy that you pass on to others. It's also your roots, your parents, your ancestors, the DNA. So we can really look into the DNA of even if you were to look at your own chart, your child's chart, to really understand the DNA, the chemical makeup that comes from what makes them and what needs to be nurtured in this inner world. The fifth house is a very creative space, how you act, how you shine. It's your personal exchange, your hobbies, romance, children, fun times, things that bring you joy. Any type of creativity, but particularly, you know, that youthful type of energy. The sixth house, I serve, the mundane service to life, okay? So it's the everyday responsibilities, structure that you put on life. This could also be considered the house of work, as in the work that you do, the diligent work that you do, the service that you do, your health, the responsibility you have on your body's health. Comes into this house as well. So looking at and the sixth house also relates to the type of health that you have. Obviously though, I just want to say this, the whole chart has potential to be healing. The whole chart relates to health. The whole chart relates to spirituality. So know that there isn't one that's more. But that certain houses, particularly if there was an issue, you could then align it into that and start to dissect it a bit so that you can understand more. It's your daily life, the sixth house, and it's where you can really work on the self, the physical, the everyday. The seventh house, I pair. I am now aware of another. I project onto another. It's the house of shadows. It's the house of partnership. It's the house of marriage. It's the house of attraction. A lot of the time, we're not aware of what it is that we're really attracted to, but we find it in the seventh house. And often when you start to really look at your seventh house and see what planets, what elemental quality is in your seventh house, you can go, yeah, I do. I like that. And it becomes something that you see because it's what you are, as I am, projected onto. And so that seventh house gives you that thing that you're attracted to, but also what you project onto. The eighth house, I renew. Your shared resources now being invested into something else to give you a new thing, to kind of go through that metamorphosis state. As I mentioned, it's to do with sex, death, rebirth, letting go, the regeneration of letting go. So regeneration, surrender, total release, so that something else can come anew. And that really ties in with sex in the tantric form of the orgasm. You have to surrender in order for it to be this bliss state, where as it also tied in equally with this fear. When there's too much fear, that closes down and something is not able to fully come out through you. Money, it's related to the second house. So there is that financial exchange, shared resources, investment, inheritance. What someone gives to you again to make something of it. And any type of sharing. So sharing of resources, sharing of money, sharing of materialistic qualities, sharing of the body, sharing of love. So it can really get into that whole merging of energy. I expand into the ninth house. So again, we're on the axis of insight, of perception, of mental understanding. And we're getting into higher education, further development of the mental landscape, travel, philosophy, beliefs. It also is a big thing on books, law, publishing, travel, religion. This all encompasses into belief systems, type of education, philosophies, travel again. So when you travel, you end up learning more. So you can see why these things all fall into this type of a house. It's all about that further expansion of the mind space. Then you're into the final quarter of the chart. I achieve where I'm going and your reputation. So the house of your career, your vocation, the status, your sense of authority, the sense of authority that you align to. Is it yours? Is it someone else's? Depending on the elements or the planets that are in here and the way the planets are configured will also shine a light on how you relate to authority figures. Your purpose, the idea around power and a sense of achievement, climbing the ladder of this life, of your career, of what it is that you want to go towards. If you have a goal, what is it that you're going to do to get yourself there? Okay. The 11th house, I aspire, the collective exchange. So this is taking your personal creative force, but now mixing it and meshing it with the collective. It's how you start to engage with your social environment, friends, groups, the social goal, the aspirations of everybody in your small community, in your community at large, in the collective. Completely. So the Akashic Records, this pool of consciousness that ties us all together. How do we get creative through this space? How can we take information from this space and then allow it to improve our sense of connection, collective exchange? Okay. It's your group contribution, humanitarian qualities as well, and really more how you engage on that social level. And then the 12th house, I realize, in your spiritual service. So again, to do with how you're providing your energy to others, your spiritual service, then it's more the dream space, the collective dream space, the subconscious, the super consciousness. It can also tie in with hospitals, institutions, places that are of confinement. And I don't know if I touched on this during the lecture, but places are that are of confinement because this is the house of total expansion, of boundlessness. So when we look at the opposition of that, confinement, mental institutions, hospital, prison, what are those three things doing? They're putting you in restraint because your spirit is now locked. It's embodied. Because the spirit wants to be grand, totally merging with all that it is. But we are living in a life that we are embodied. We are in one way, shape or form. We are locked here and experiencing this reality. But it's a good thing to be here to engage and engage with reality. But there are times when the spirit or the soul calls to be really locked away, prison. Mental health gets disorientated because the psyche, which is the 12th house, that merging of consciousness, becomes disrupted. And so that's mental institutions. And then hospital, your health. If we look at the 6th house being, again, the service to your body, to your everyday responsibilities of health, if that's out of kilter, then where do we end up? We end up locked in this institution that has to help us get towards a better sense of health. It is also considered the house of dreams, transcendence, going beyond the boundaries of this reality, the possibility of dreaming, of meditating, of experiencing something that's greater than this embodiment, then gives you that opportunity to suddenly understand you have a spiritual consciousness that connects you to all things. And so you start working through that potential. It also is the house of spiritual life or self-sabotage. The two go hand in hand, light and shadow. They go hand in hand. They are both one and the same. It really just depends on the type of work and the way of which you are conscious of those. And so that's sometimes people can find that when they open up into their 12th house planet, if it was, for example, Saturn in your 12th house, it can be this like rock solid, impossible, sense of stuckness, not able to get anywhere until you've learned the hard lessons of this sense of embodiment in order for you to achieve the greater wisdom of all that your spiritual service is here to provide. So with that in mind, let's move into some of your charts so that you can, so that we can apply this language to your charts. So I know that the questions that you have sent forward, just checking Esther. So with Esther here, your chart, just to go through it in the 12 houses, you've got Libra rising, you've got Pluto and Uranus in your first house, okay? And then you've got your second house starts right on Scorpio. It looks like it's like just under 1 degree. So Scorpio is your second house. Sagittarius is your third house. Capricorn then marks onto your IC, the lowest point in your chart. So your deep inner space, your inner world is all to do with the Capricorn energy. When we go into the elements next week, we'll be able to apply a greater vocabulary to the angles and the houses with the elemental quality. So for example, you have cardinal air rising and you have cardinal earth grounding you. So your inner home space is very solid, practical, grounded. Think all the earthy type terminology here. Earth that is solid. For me, Capricorn is always this like solid mountain, this rock. And so that is the world that is the scene that is painted for you. Your fifth house is Aquarius. Sixth house is Pisces with Mars in there. And then onto your descendant here is in Aries. So when you connect in with business partners, marriage, projections, attractions, you're looking into anything that is very fiery, cardinal and fiery, youthful, energetic, action orientated. You've got your Jupiter and Moon and Chiron all in there. So when it comes to how you pair with others and the projections that you play with them, the energy that you are attracted to and also objectively looking at through them, they'll play out these energies for you, but through a very spirited manner, very colorful, energetic manner, because they're all in your seventh house in Aries. And as we're in Aries at the moment, the sun is highlighting this house for you. Okay, so we've got Aries is at 3 degrees at the moment. So yeah, actually in 2 days time, the sun will be entering into your seventh house, Esther. And so it's always good to be aware that when the sun, if you know where the sun is and the moon, for example, you don't have to know where everything is, but if you check where the sun is at the moment, it's at 3 degrees today, on the 24th of March, it's at 3 degrees. So we count in 1, 2, 3, your sun is actually, the sun is here. And so in 2 more days, it's going to hit into 5 degrees of Aries. And then the sun is consciousness, it's light, it's awareness, is shining into your seventh house. So you're going to be made a little bit more aware of your seventh house. When the sun is there, that's what's being made aware for you. So I'll go into some of the other charts as well, so you know what is being made aware of for each of your charts. You could do the same with the moon as well. The moon is in Sagittarius today. Your eighth house is with Taurus, right on the cusp of Aries and Taurus, but it is in Taurus, okay? So when people say, oh, I was born on the cusp, yeah, but it lands in one or the other. And so it lands in Taurus. In the Placidus house system, it lands in Taurus, okay? And your sun is in the eighth house. So if you go back into the eighth house themes that we mentioned, where it's all about what you give totally transforms you, what you surrender to, your light then is infused with more, with that possibility of shining more. Your sun, which we will get to, is all about what you're here to remember, okay? So it's going to be highlighting that. The ninth house is in Gemini. Your MC is in Cancer. So when you look at what it is that you're here to do, what it is that you want to achieve, it really has to mean something to you. Your heart, your home, your sense of emotional connection to it really has to push you and lead you in that direction. You have to really feel very comforting with it. Your 11th house is in Leo, and your 12th house is in Virgo. Okay, so that would be your chart, Esther, if we break it down into each of the houses. Let's see. Go back up. We got Jenny. There we go. Jenny, so with your chart, you have Aries rising. Your Mercury and Sun are in the first house. Your Sun is in Taurus, but in the first house, even though it's ruled by Aries. And so we've spoken about this in consultation as well, but your sun in the first house is I am, my light is here, I am. And so it double amplifies the energy in your first house, because firstly, it's Aries, the very first sign of the zodiac. Your sun is in your first house as well. So there's an additional emphasis of I am, that initial light that shines is coming through your chart. Second house is ruled by Gemini. Third house, again, by Gemini, with your moon and Venus in here in Cancer. Cancer then is on your fourth house cusp with your planets here in the fourth house we spoke about. Then the fifth house is ruled by Leo. And then sixth house is by Virgo. Your seventh house is by Libra, just on the very end of the cusp, equally just like your ascendant is 28 degrees Aries. And then, so if you were again to look at your husband, you're looking at it from the lens of a Libra. There's this balance, and he has his Scorpio sun. So you're looking at it also that he ends up landing in this space for you also. And it's very Plutonian when you pair with another, when you share your sense of self, your attraction, your projections, your learnings through another. They're all shared through the energy of Pluto with the Libra lens and the Scorpio kind of costume. Eighth house is ruled by Sagittarius, ninth house by Sagittarius, 10th house. So your MC is in Capricorn. Again, this is very much like a solid. You need a solid direction. You need goal-orientated action plan in order to get you through what it is that you want to offer in terms of career, vocation, direction in life. You need those steps set out for you. 11th house, you can see that just because the glyphs take up a little bit of extra space, the line just moves over a bit, but your 11th house is ruled by Aquarius. They're at about 3 degrees. And then 12th house is by Pisces. Okay. Currently, the sun is in your 12th house. So you'll be experiencing a lot of insight, awareness, consciousness being shone into the theme of life for you through the 12th house, guys. Okay. So wherever the sun is, it's amplifying that. It's like as if this is the play, the movie, the theater that's playing out for you. And the spotlight is in that house at this moment in time. And so it's making sure that you don't forget that house. Okay. Let's see what else we got. Keely, you have Capricorn rising and a big first house with the Placidus house system. Then you've got Pisces in your second, for your ruling for your second house, Aries for your third house. Okay, so the sun is currently, it was your birthday on Wednesday. And so the sun has just moved off your own natal sun. And so when you have that, the sun in on where your sun is, it's your solar return. It is activating the entire chart's energy all over again. So when the sun shines on it again, it's like an extra amplification of light charged into the chart, and it sets a new tone for the year ahead. Okay. And so your second house, what you have, your skill set, the things that you value, the materialistic qualities that you gather into yourself, into your life, are all being highlighted at this moment now. Third house is ruled by Aries. Fourth, IC, is ruled by Taurus. Your moon is also in Taurus. And then you've got your fifth house, Gemini. Sixth house is also Gemini. Seventh house is Cancer. So when you're connecting into one another, a partnership, a marriage, a friendship, and a projection, it is all coming through this very emotional realm. You can feel very strongly protective, caring about your partner or about a friendship. You can get very, very caring and nurturing towards another. When someone reaches out to you, you feel very responsible towards looking after them. That is because it's triggering this Cancerian archetype in you to look after that sense of projection. Because it's a big part of who you are. That's how you tend to another. You might not do it for yourself, but you do it for others through this way of your chart expressing itself. Your seventh house, your eighth house is ruled by Virgo, and ninth house by Libra. MC is Scorpio. So how you go about finding the next steps towards what it is that you want to achieve, career, life direction, it needs to be a deeply moving, intuitive thing, that instinct that comes from within you, that you're like, I know what I need to do and I'm going to do it. But it's something that's very quiet, very subtle, but you are taking action on it. It's something that almost not frightens you, but it comes from deep within you that just compels you to do that. The 11th house, Sagittarius, and the 12th house, also Sagittarius. Okay, let's see who else. So Shrimanjula, we've got your chart here. Again, just to recap on your house systems, rising is Aries. So again, the sun is right on your rising sign at this moment in time. So again, this is activating today on the 24th, the sun is activating your persona, the mask you wear, the light that you shine into this world. It's being triggered and activated today. And then for the rest of the month, the sun is going to transit through your first house. So it's, again, it's just shining that light on, this is who I am, my persona, my body, my sense of being here. My presence is all being on the spotlight. So that's calling for you to just recognize it, to embrace it, to shine it. Second house is Taurus. Third house is Gemini with your sun in Gemini. So again, amplification of communication with the light in here, your own natal light in there. Your IC is Cancer. Your fifth house is also Cancer. Sixth house is Leo with a few planets there in Virgo. Then your seventh house is Libra. So again, your projection in terms of what it is that you are attracted to in your partner, in your working one-to-one friendships and relationships, you're really looking for this sense of harmony and balance. And also an open dialogue that's very fair and compatible, creating this beauty and harmony. But it has a really deep intuitive, instinctual power behind it, because you've also got Pluto in here in your seventh house. So when connecting to your partner, your husband, you're really connecting into that power through dialogue that you both bring to each other to create a harmony and equal balance between the two of you in your relationship and in your projection. Eighth house ruled by Scorpio, ninth house ruled by Sagittarius. Your MC is by Capricorn. So again, putting a clear plan in place, steps, achieve, goal orientated, and you see that kind of work its way out. You need to see advancement in order to feel like you are succeeding. To be in a position of authority within yourself, you need to see that you are taking action upon the plan and that you're gaining ground. Okay, so they're very Capricorn-like themes. Your 11th house is ruled by Capricorn also, just on the very end there, 29 degrees. And your 12th house is ruled by Aquarius, again, on the very end, 28 degrees. So that would be your chart. Then we have Claire. So again, a lot of you are just kind of wondering how to relate that to your own chart. Claire, with your chart, you've got Pisces rising. Your time is not exact accurate. It's within the hour. So we do take it, though, that it's within the hour. It's somewhere landing in Pisces. Pisces rising with your second house, then in Taurus, third house, Gemini, fourth house, also Gemini, with your Sun and Mercury, Jupiter and North Node, all in your third house, all in the Gemini energy. And so that again really emphasizes your sense of connection, the purpose, the calling, the expansion of insight that you will get, because Mercury is also there. Mercury is the ruler of Gemini, so it has this overlap of this finding this neutral channel of communication, of connection, of insight. Your fourth house ruled by Gemini, and again, emphasizing that channel, that ability to find communication and connection through many things, connection to your past, connection to your purpose, your home. The fifth house ruled by Cancer. So your form of creation comes from a very nurturing emotional state. Sixth house ruled by Leo, and seventh house ruled by Virgo. So again, in your Virgo seventh house projections, partnerships, attractions, shadows, one-to-ones, all comes through this Virgoan state. So the living essence, so being with the physical, being with earth. So Virgo again is mutable earth. Mutable earth has this great quality to be, I always just think of it as a very tangible garden, getting your hands into the earth, but also being patient with letting something grow. So that it's not as, say, for example, Capricorn being very much like, right, we need to climb the mountain. It's a rock and you've got to get somewhere. Virgo is also very patient in that it's kind of like, yes, I'll work the land, but then I need to be patient and be with it. And so there's great patience when it comes to, and diligence, dexterity, when it comes to you and your partnerships and pairing with another. Also then when, if that's related to your projections, your shadows, the aspects of yourself that you have to be confronted with through another, you're confronted with it in a way that you're like, I can work with this. Okay. It's a pretty decent one in terms of pairing, because Virgo has that quality to be dexterous, to be adaptable, as do most of the mutable signs, but Virgo in particular. Eighth house ruled by Scorpio, ninth house ruled by Sagittarius, with the Sagittarius moon there, right up towards your MC. So any type of lunar energies, anything that's close to the degree, often within a 5-degree space, will accentuate that angle. So you've got the moon quite close to your MC, so it accentuates your life direction from a lunar perspective. So when it comes to your soul calling, when it comes to an emotional sense of feeling safe, connected, homely, a remembrance of what it is that you're here to achieve in this life. Again, all ruled by Sagittarius. So it's this like multidimensional traveler, the capability of of being here, bringing light here and offering it as something to add momentum and direction. It's also very playful energy. Capricorn rules your 11th house. 12th house is by Aquarius, and you've got Saturn and Chiron in your 12th house on your ascendant also. So that's why Chiron is such a strong guide for you, Claire. We'll cover that in our Chiron workshop then during the week. Let me just double check. There's one other chart that I want to go through before we cap it today. So, okay, Michelle, you've got Cancer rising. So a very emotional, protective, nurturing essence of who you are. Your second house is with Leo. Your third house is also with Leo. Fourth house is with Virgo, a few planets in your fourth house there. Fifth house by Libra. That means your creativity comes through this really beautiful, balancing, harmonic energy of Libra. That is the scene that is played out for your fifth house of creativity. Sixth house is by Sagittarius. Seventh house, your descendant is Capricorn, and you have Mars in here. So when you connect to your projections, your partnerships, what you're learning through another, through awareness of another, you're looking at it through that Capricorn energy. So again, in comparison to that Virgo piece, this time it's Capricorn. There is a sense of like, we need to work on this. And you do. And you put great action into that because you've also got Mars there. So there's a great cardinality to your capacity to work with your projections, to work with your partnerships, to work with another, with marriage, with one-to-ones, with friendships. There's action there. There's action and achievement. There's ground made through partnership. So it's almost like when you then connect in with another person, a one-to-one, say when you're out with just one other friend, there's greatness achieved in that sense of connection together because your projections need another person to help you learn how to evolve. Mars is all about the energy that's here to move you forward. Capricorn is the same. It's like, what are we doing? What are we actively grounding into to make us go somewhere? And I am choosing just one or two houses to overly language. So you start to see that if I went and languaged each and every one, that's a consultation in itself. So I'm choosing seventh house in particular, MC in particular, to language so that you see the variety of energies that can play out. Eighth house for you, Michelle, is Aquarius, as is your ninth house. Your MC is Piscean. So this Piscean energy of meaning, merging, fluidity. You have great imagination and insight, foresight, dreaming. You have almost the capacity to understand where you're going without really putting words on it. There is this vibe and essence that you know what you're here to do. You also have Chiron and Venus in your 10th house. So when it comes to your vocation, your career, there is great softness, great healing capacity in the direction that you're going in this life. Your moon is in Aries and Aries rules your 11th house. So you feel your moon gets really nurtured when in social groups and social connections with great friends and community. It really helps to build that sense of soul remembrance and light that you carry within you. And then your 12th house is ruled by Gemini there as well. So I think I've gotten that. I could also go through Carolina's again, but I think you've got some questions for some of the later classes as you're retaking the course. But do let me know if there was anything else that you wanted to have covered in that. So I just want to end then on, they are your charts. All you need from this first week is to recap the meanings of the houses, to have a good understanding of the languaging that would go with that scene. Think of it like a theater. Each of the houses are a scene, okay? And when you get acquainted with the scene, then we start to add in the characters. Well, actually next week, we're gonna just start adding in the elemental quality. And so I am in a fiery sense. So I am in a fiery sense. It's like, wow, I've got light. I've got vision. We'll look at what fire is next week, but it's all about heat, dynamic, color, what you see, because without light, without fire, we don't see anything. Okay. So it's all about vision. And so if that was in your first house, then I am is very colorful. It's very active. It's very dynamic. But if your first house was an earthy one, I'm really solid. I'm really grounded. I need to just maybe go slower and be more with the practical, be more with the tangible. Your presence is going to come across a lot more somber in comparison to fire, but actually a lot slower, there present. There's a harmony to it in that it's grounded in earth. If it was more air, it can come across as kind of flighty. It can come across as very diplomatic. It can come across as different, on a different plane. And we'll start to break that into each of the different zodiac signs, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, where air can really carry you in many different directions. You're witnessing my Gemini rising, chatty, chatty, lots and lots of words, the ability to offer multiple ways of connecting. So again, you're seeing that the third house Gemini type energies offers that ability to connect, to see, to explain, to language. But if you then had a watery first house rising, everything's based on emotion. Everything's based on a subtle feeling. It's something that you feel, know, intuit. It's a primal internal understanding. What is it that you do with it? Do you go into protective mode? Perhaps when people greet you, they're like, I don't know what I'm getting from that person. Are they Scorpio? Are they Cancer rising? They've protected, they've shielded themselves off. Are they Piscean? It's kind of like, wow, are you me? You know me. It's like Pisces just merges with somebody else and all of a sudden they're less themselves. They're just offering a mask of the other person so that that other person feels comfortable in their realm, in their space. And so we start to really language each of the houses with the elements next week. So for now, just get acquainted with each of the 12 houses and picture them like a stage, a scene on the stage that we will now start to dress with the elements. Okay, so I think that was the main thing in terms of your questions, was really how to understand your own chart in relation to the houses. I think everything else regarding the chakras, everyone seems on it and comfortable with that, even though some of them I know they were new to you or you use a different chakra system. This is how I'm using it, but again, it's a theory and it can be altered and changed in different ways. And then the last one was just really from this first class and the Q&A, get acquainted with just understanding to look at the chart and how it's laid out. All of the pieces now over the next few weeks are going to be building blocks that we apply into this. So this is all you need to become acquainted with, just an understanding. Next week, we're going to get into the elements and that will really help to paint that picture for you. So I hope you enjoyed today's Q&A. Any other questions based on it, add them in and I can add them as written or video to the next class, lob them on to the next week's Q&A. But it's all going to be there as for you to recap over the coming weeks. Looking forward to connecting with you next week. Namaste.